Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. I'm David Intersimone, Vice President of Developer Relations, Chief Evangelist for Borland.
I'm John Castor, Senior Manager for Developer Relations and Evangelist for Borland.
And we've got Anders on the mic mixer and capture system. Some quick reminders before we get started. This audio chat is intended for technical information regarding Delphi 2005 only. The opinions expressed in this briefing do not represent plans or statements of intent of Borland, but the personal opinions of the people speaking in the chat. When you want to ask questions, use the /ask command or the ask link in the chat window to submit questions to the moderators. So go ahead and start queuing up your questions and we'll keep going. So with us today is Seppi Bloom, R&D engineer in the Delphi group. Seppi will be discussing VCL and VCL for .NET in Delphi 2005. Seppi, thank you for coming today.
Thanks for having me.
We also have a surprise visitor who's going to sit in and may join the chat. We'll see. Danny Thorpe, chief scientist in the Delphi group, is also here, and he may chime in with some talk as well. But we're going to spend a lot of the time with Seppi, and Seppi, this is your first time in the chat room here.
Yep.
So maybe the first way to start, Seppi, is to just talk about VCL and VCL.NET in Delphi 2005. What's in it? What's new? What's interesting?
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing I should talk about then would be on the .NET side. There were several things that didn't quite make it from Delphi 8. One of them is Action Bands. Another one is DBGO or AVO Express. So those things we've added in Delphi 2005. We've also added a few new components, and that goes on both sides, on Win32 and on the .NET side. And those are components that we've developed internally for our own use. Corbin mentioned briefly, I think, the other day. And then we've also tried to leverage and expose some of the new compiler features that we added by adding enumerators to some of the containers and also some inline macros that we have in Windows.pass.
So when you're doing VCL and VCL.NET, and I know we did this with Delphi 8, but this is the first time where both products came together for Win32 and for .NET. And so what work do you go through to keep those two frameworks, component libraries, in sync?
Most of the code that we write when we apply a bug fix or an enhancement is actually identical code. There's very little in the code that is different. The things that are different are usually when we get into some more areas that are closer to the metal, closer to the platform, platform invoke, com interrupt, things like that. That's where we have to start making changes. But most of the stuff that we do is actually very, very similar.
I know that in Delphi 2005, there's a new the tool palette for the components and the wizards is new, and so that's one of the things, right, that you added and said, hey, here's a new component that we needed, and you just provided it for everyone else to use as well.
Yes, that's right.
So is it the same exact component?
I believe it is. I haven't looked at the code over on the IDE side that uses it, but it should be the same component.
And I think we asked Alan or others, but maybe you can chime in as well, compatibility to past versions of Delphi as far as VCL and VCL.NET is concerned. Can we just take our projects over? Are there changes in some of the interfaces?
There should be very, very limited changes. Obviously, if you're moving from the Win32 side to the .NET side, there are going to be some changes that you need to make and need to be aware of. Usually, they are, again, things that are closer to the metal, lower level stuff. We do have some changes on the drag and drop side where some messages became methods, but otherwise there's not much.
Mm-hmm. And then, but just taking a Delphi 7 VCL app or a Delphi 8 VCL.NET app, bringing it to Delphi 2005 should come over from the VCL standpoint?
Should come over fine, should be very little changes.
I think one of the questions, you know, I was at our conference in Paris, I was spending some time with a guy that used to work for Borland and now is an evangelist for .NET, and he gets asked a lot, well, why use VCL for .NET? And I simply went on BDN and got Danny Forbes' article and sent him the URL of the article, but maybe you'd spend a few moments yourself, and Dan, if you want to then chime in as well, talking about, so why VCL.net versus using just the Foundation Class Library that comes with .NET itself?
I think that it comes down to just really leveraging existing investments. You have invested in the product, you've invested in the code, you know the language, you know the framework, and to be able to move that forward without having to relearn. Obviously, there are some situations where perhaps using WinForms might be better tailored for the specific purpose that you're going to do it, and in those situations, by all means, use it. But rewriting an application or a framework or components when there really perhaps isn't a need to doesn't make sense.
And then there's another question that usually comes up is, you know, we talk about VCL and then we talk about just all the components that come with Delphi as well. And do you make a distinction? I mean, VCL, we said, okay, that's Visual Component Library. But even in the early days of the first version of Delphi, there were non-visual components as well. So when you look at VCL and VCL.net, do you really encompass the whole thing, or do you spend most of the time focusing on the visual components themselves?
When we talk about VCL.net, we talk about the whole thing, and that sort of is a name that covers pretty much everything, including the database components and so on. Although internally, we do sort of divide up responsibilities among the components, and then the database team typically handles the database components and so on.
So do you have your favorite parts of the VCL? Variants.
Thanks, Danny. Anything but variants.
So you don't have favorite components, you know, spin buttons or something like that. They're all equal class citizens.
At the moment, I really like the category buttons control. It's new, it's got support for nice fancy colors, and you can do a lot of really cool stuff with it, as Corbin showed us in the IDE.
Mm-hmm. Well, since you brought up the bête noire of variants, did anything change for variants with this release? He's got a mic.
No, we haven't done really anything on the side of variants.
I thought that the behavior for operator overloading had changed.
Well, the variants implementation has changed completely in .NET, but it hasn't changed significantly between Delphi 8 and Delphi 2.5.
Right, okay.
And another question that comes up oftentimes is, you know, we ship source code to some of the VCL. If we talk about the VCL as the whole thing, the question comes up is, do we ship all the source code, for examples, of all the VCL components?
I believe that we do have source for everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. I think that's a good learning experience as well, right? If people want to look at the VCL source code, the VCL.NET source code, it gives them a great example of how to build components, what those two class component libraries are doing with Windows and the underneath.
Absolutely. And especially in the case of VCL.NET, it's a very, very good example of how we solved some of the migration issues of moving to .NET. And how we do platform invoke and interop solutions.
And it's also something that you don't see with the WinForms library.
So Microsoft doesn't ship source code at all?
Well, they ship there's some parts of the .NET framework they ship in Rotor, but it doesn't include WinForms. Hmm.
So take a look at the source code. Were there, you know, I could go back to the article, but were there specific challenges in moving the VCL to .NET?
There were some that were more challenging than others. I think one of the more challenging ones was what we did most recently, the DBGO and ADO Express port, since that is very, very heavily tied into COM. It became a very interesting exercise in COM interop, and we also did end up having to do a lot of manual declarations and marshalling and setting up of attributes on these COM interfaces. So if anyone out there is interested or struggling with COM interop, look at the source in borland.vcl.adoint.pass and adodb.pass. And there's a lot of good examples in there of how to solve some of those problems.
Did the work that Chris Benson did on this release make any difference in how you did this interop?
No, that's something different.
Now, as we look forward, one of the things that I've always liked about the VCL is that it hid the differences, even when we went from 16-bit Windows to 32, and there were some impacts here and there, but that we could hide differences and changes in COM and other kinds of things that Microsoft's done over time. And as we look forward to the next major version of .NET and the next version of the Microsoft Windows operating system, doesn't VCL become this first-class citizen of putting a component layer over the top of the underlying platform?
I would agree with you. Yeah, it certainly does, and it's something that we look back, as you say, on VCL. We've bridged several platform gaps before, from 16-bit to 32, and now on to .NET, and so it's certainly something that we've tried to do in the past, we've done in the past, and we're looking forward to the future.
I know that when we show customers the product, we can show them taking Delphi 1 applications and recompiling Delphi 2 applications and so on, recompiling them in Delphi 2005.
Yep.
And you know, we always say, well, gee, you know, Visual Basic, try to take an old VBX control that you have and recompile it on, you know, or use it on .NET. I'm not sure you can even attempt to do something like that. Yeah. So benefit there for Delphi developers. Would someone use the C# language and VCL.NET? Does that make sense? It's an assembly, right? And it's .NET.
Technically, you can access any Delphi assembly from C#. I'm not sure of why you'd want to use C# together with VCL.NET.
Well, part of the trouble there is that VCL was built in conjunction with building the Delphi language. The two were built in lockstep, so there were things that were done with the Delphi language, such as virtual constructors, that the VCL architecture is designed to exploit. And so C# doesn't really have a representation for virtual constructors. So the C# programmer would have to sort of do some odd things that Delphi programmers wouldn't have to do in order to reach into the compiler Delphi RTL internals to know how to construct an object. Now, that's an area that we're looking at possibly smoothing over a little bit to make it less foreign to C# programmers. But our first priority for VCL for .NET was to produce a smooth migration path for existing VCL customers.
If we take a look at the VCL again, do you have any thoughts about other things that you'd like to see us, either components or whatever, into VCL as we move forward?
On the component side, I think that we need to continue doing what we're doing is when we create new components for ourselves, make sure that we create new features as components and put them in the component library and share them. There's no reason really not to do that. There are a few components perhaps that we can add that we've talked about and that people have suggested in the past. And if people out there have suggestions for components they'd like to see in the component framework, by all means, let us know. I think QC is a good method or vehicle for doing that, and we'll certainly sort of look at those suggestions.
So put requests for components in Quality Central, and the team looks at Quality Central feature suggestions and, of course, problem reports as well.
Yep.
Now we just shipped Delphi 2005, so yep. It's usable. People, you should buy it before the end of the year. Be great. If you've been to a user group and you have your coupons, use your coupons. But of course, people are looking forward to at least .NET 2.0 due out, what, second half of next year? Sometime middle to second half of next year. Do you envision hard work or challenges in moving VCL for .NET forward?
Moving VCL.NET as it is today to .NET 2 should not present significant challenges. .NET 2 does have a lot of interesting new features, and I was just commenting the other day that they've actually provided solutions to a lot of the problems that we had, the things that we struggled with when porting VCL.NET originally. They've now got solutions for, or at least easier ways to solve that than we originally did. So one of the things I'd like to do is obviously go back and look at some of the new features in .NET 2 and see what of that we can leverage and perhaps retrofit into VCL.NET and make it more secure and stable.
One of the things that was sort of invented on our own and then discovered later that there were plans at Microsoft to do a similar thing in .NET 2.0 is for our resource handles. In .NET, your objects may hang around for a long time beyond when they're last referenced. You don't really have control over when they go away. So if you've got an object that contains bitmap handles or other types of handles that are running around in the Windows system, that can put a big strain on the Windows system because of all the handles running around that are held open longer than normal than there would be in Windows 2. So we actually constructed a class, so just a very tiny class, so sometimes referred to as a mosquito class, that does nothing but own a handle. And on that very tiny class, we put the finalizer. Finalizers execute in very bizarre circumstances, and it's very peculiar. You don't want to have a large class in the finalizer. So this little mosquito class is what the controls or Windows components hold onto. And so these large classes can be disposed of or put away without holding on to these resources unnecessarily. The mosquito classes are the only thing that holds on to the resource, and eventually we'll put it away. And lo and behold, as we were in the middle of developing this, we find out from Microsoft that that's exactly what they were planning to do with .NET 2.0.
So is the class name T Mosquito, or?
Usually there's something handle wrapper, something this, something that.
Okay.
And if people out there are interested, you can look in borland.vcl.controls.pass and look for, I believe it's T-handle wrapper or something along those lines, and see how the interaction works.
Okay. So let's get to some of the questions. They're queuing up, and if we come up with other things in here, we will as well. So, Seppi, there's really three VCLs, right? There's VCL for Win32, VCL for .NET, and then there's CLX, which is the both for Windows and for Linux that we produced back in the Kylix time. So the question, there's a comment and then a question that says, I think it's a natural tendency of a library to grow closer to the underlying platform. And for cross-platform work, you need to keep as much possible the same. How are you handling the issues of trying to keep things the same but still taking control of the power of the underlying platform or operating system?
That's a very good question. On the VCL side, VCL.NET, they're so similar in the platform, is even though .NET and Win32 are radically different, they're still very, very similar. So keeping them sort of at the same level and tied together is perhaps not as hard as something like the CLX framework, which obviously is radically different. And running on Windows and on the Linux platform, clearly there's significant differences there which are way beyond what you'd see between Win32, Windows, and .NET.
Yeah, so again, the compatibility level between Qlix and VCL.NET or VCL132 is at the name level. So we try to make the names available that are expected by VCL programs, but the implementations are completely different. Whereas opposed to VCL.NET and VCL Win32, not only are the names the same, but they're also the same implementation. They still call out to the Win32 API. The infrastructure, the architecture of the execution environment is different, but the Win32 API is the same. So we have to modify how we represent handles or how we represent message passing in .NET as opposed to Win32, but the message passing is still there.
So as far as the naming, T-button is T-button, whether it's Linux, Win32, .NET.
Right, and it's got a name property, and it's got a Qlix event, and things like that. Mm-hmm. But the underlying event, the other underlying implementations for Qlix are radically different. I would also assert that the while it's true that a library would tend to grow closer to the underlying platform over time, that's only if you're doing one platform. If you are working on multiple platforms regularly, that actually herds you back towards doing things in a compatible way. So the fact that we're working with multiple platforms on a regular basis every year or so actually gives us pain points that reminds us, don't do that. We have to do it the compatible way.
As you mentioned, there's the Calix Community Project that's going on, and the goal that some Borlanders and others from the community are working on is to update CLX so that it stays as close as possible to things that are going on VCL, including new components, and changes that way.
Yeah, we're very, very encouraged by that.
So here's another question, Seppi. It says, I know it's, and I think you already touched on it a little bit when you were talking about containers and mm-hmm. so on. But I know it's probably too soon to ask this, but how will generics influence the VCL, except especially container classes? Will there be a new set of container classes in the VCL?
I think the generics, we obviously need to look at what the compiler support is and how, if we get generics on Win32 as well as .NET. We obviously don't want to introduce things in VCL that will only work in one place. We do want to keep a compatibility between the two. And we don't want to run around and change things just for the sake of changing them either. If there are meaningful enhancements that we can make on the VCL side with generics, we'll do that. But we obviously need to research that. We don't want to duplicate efforts that are or existing classes in the .NET framework either, if we're just going to talk about the .NET only side. If it's in .NET, then there's no need for us to reinvent it.
Which brings up a question about, I probably always get this wrong, is can you mix and match VCL components and FCL, you know, or .NET components? Maybe it's VCL components on a WinForm, or is it WinForm components on a VCL form?
Currently, if you want to use a WinForm component in the VCL, you need to wrap it. And I believe we have a wizard that does that wrapping for you, creates the wrapper, and then you can drop it on your VCL form.
And then for non-visual components, of course, the migration or the interoperability is a lot higher. And then personally, I am still looking for some research time that we can have someone sit down and really go through the mapping layers that are going on there between the VCL model of containment and the .NET WinForms model of containment. I think, just intuitively, I feel that there's probably a path through there somewhere that we could host a WinForms control on a VCL form without requiring a wrapper class. And with a little bit extra work, more work, to host a VCL component on a WinForms form. But the main issue is that the parent environment is different between VCL and .NET.
Because I know that some people, like, you know, I've heard from people that some of the components that we've had in Delphi for a long time, which there aren't specific components like that, TDB Navigator or whatever, I mean, you can build a navigator, but you don't have some of those nice, you know, clean components as well. I'm not sure if there's a panel or some other things. It's probably an area, but the panel works really nice. Okay, there's a question here. It says, I missed the unit test talk. Okay, but it's archived for you, so Ronald, if you miss the unit test talk, it'll get put up at some point
before the end of this year.
Before the end of the year, so look back at the at BDN TV, BDN Radio, and you'll see the unit test talk come up. But the question is really, you know, is the VCL supported with unit tests? So it's really the question about unit testing, you know, visual components versus just classes and methods of any kind, and whether you maybe have you tried doing unit tests at all?
I've looked at the unit test feature a little bit, but it was actually in connection with the RTL and just runtime functions rather than visual classes. But I believe that you should be able to test just about anything with it.
You can call a method, you can fire an event.
Yeah. A class is a class, and whether it's a visual component or not, shouldn't matter.
The hazard there is that for unit testing, typically is a programmatical approach. And we start talking about doing systematic testing of user interface, then you've got this incestuousness that you're not actually testing what the user is seeing, what the user is pushing. You know, the mouse click might not actually be going to the right place, but your test code is calling the click method. So the click method works just fine, but for whatever reason, the mouse clicks aren't getting to it. So unit testing is certainly valuable for exercising the code, but it doesn't go all the way out and actually simulate the user.
So Savvy, maybe this brings up a good question. How do you test the VCL? How does QA in the Delphi group test the VCL?
It's a very good question.
The old-fashioned way?
The old-fashioned way. They have a combination of the old-fashioned way, because some things are very difficult to do in an automated way, and then they also have test automation that runs through properties, methods, events, and just hammers on stuff.
And again, part of that is an architecture that we built years ago, prior to Delphi 1, actually, called Zombie internally, because it wouldn't die. And that is, again, one of these things that goes out and pushes the buttons and moves the mouse click and moves the mouse pointer and clicks on things and so forth. So that on the one side, it's simulating the user. On the other side, it's actually looking inside the process and reading the state of the object to find out if something happened. And I believe we got a patent on that about 6 years ago.
When you're talking about the testing stuff, now that we've got the unit testing wizard, are we going to start seeing unit tests come out for VCL, and is it something that does that lead to potential for a framework for our customers who use VCL in their apps to?
Well, I mean, unit test there was the unit testing stuff that the unit test is set up, and what people can add to that is a reporting mechanism to, you know, log things out to a standard file format or things like that. I don't know that we will be producing a test architecture or a test framework per se, certainly something to talk about, but the pieces are there.
Okay. So here's I guess comes under the heading of feature requests for next version of VCL.
Okay.
Could you comment if you plan to include the virtual tree view into the VCL as it is already used by the IDE?
I haven't heard anything along those lines. Maybe Danny has.
Sorry?
Any information on this?
About whether or not virtual tree view is going to be included as part of VCL.
I haven't heard anything. No, sorry.
But we have given code changes and bug fixes back to Mike Lischke, so it should be available for download from there.
Here's one for Seppi and maybe Danny as well. It's serialization. It has to do with serialization of VCL classes.
Okay.
Do you have plans to make VCL classes such as TList serializable, marking them with the serializable attribute so they can be used with such mechanisms as .NET remoting and so on? It gives a reference to Quality Central 8096, QC 8096.
Right. Well, for the .NET 1.x platform, it's not just a serializable attribute, but I believe that for .NET remoting to fully marshal that class, it has to be a descendant of marshal by ref. And so that adds considerable weight to that class. In particular, in the 1.x platforms, marshal by ref descendants cannot have their methods inline. So I'm a little bit leery of just let's make TList serializable, because that's not what it was originally designed for. But in the 2.0.NET platform, serializable becomes a lot easier because they remove the requirement for marshal by ref. So it's something we will evaluate. If it's easy and doesn't bring down the system, then certainly we should do it.
So here's another question, Seppi. I'm having huge problems in including pure .NET components into VCL.NET applications. Documentation is limited. Could someone write an article, you know, someone at Borland, like we did for client data sets, for example?
We can look at putting together some kind of article and posting it on one of the blogs. If there are, perhaps we could clarify the question if there are specific components or if it's just in general.
Okay. And when you say a pure VCL component, how much of that is the Windows API, how much of that is PCHAR manipulation, and how much of it is actually just controls?
So Holger, you might chime back in, but okay. So here's the question we sort of touched on as Windows is moving forward, and in particular, it's a comment question about Avalon.
Okay.
And I think we know someone who's working on Avalon up at Microsoft as well. Since Avalon is really I'm only quoting here, a glorified version of what VCL has been doing for 10 years, what are the prospects for migrating the VCL to Longhorn Avalon?
That's definitely a research item at this point. We're looking into what role VCL can play there.
Which means I would very much like to see it, and I've assigned it to CEPI to figure it out. But yes, it's definitely that there are a lot of similarities in the persistence model of Avalon compared to the persistence model of VCL. Going back to the previous question about serializable on TList, again, VCL defines a persistence model which begins with component, or actually the T persistent. So with Avalon, there's these XAML forms descriptions that are out there, which are essentially glorified DFM files in XML format. And personally, I just have, again, this intuition that I would really like to see if there's some way that we can figure out how to map VCL into the existing Avalon framework without having to do wrappers and these types of things. And the fact that VCL has been through three or four platform shifts already gives it a lot more, a much better chance than something like WinForms as a first-time implementation.
So maybe I'll chime in with one of my own questions here again about when we did VCL for .NET, you mentioned that it really is a layer over the top still of Windows. Have you seen any performance degradation or memory utilization issues in VCL versus VCL.NET?
Obviously, there are pros and cons with both sides. I think that pure startup time, a VCL Win32 application probably has the edge, especially if it's, well, obviously if it's the first time .NET itself is loaded on the machine. But there's going to be obviously things that are going to be more efficient on the .NET side as well, due to the jitter having inlining and other things going on there. So I haven't seen any specifics myself other than the obvious one. The obvious difference for me is when you start an application. Once things are up and running, they're pretty smooth growth.
Now, there's some work that went into Delphi 2005 specifically to improve the performance of VCL for .NET.
Yes.
Such as the security audit.
Yes.
Speak to that at all.
Yes. What we did was let me take one step back first. A common request and feature request from Delphi 8, something we didn't have time to do there, was to allow a VCL.NET application to run from a network drive or any other location that doesn't have full trust in the .NET world. And in order to support this, it's really a two-step process. But the first step is to perform a security audit on VCL itself. And that means going through pretty much all of the classes and all of the components, all of the methods, and figuring out what needs to be tagged with security attributes, what level of trust is needed for each operation and each call that we're doing, so that we can then remove the requirement of a stack walk each time you go and do a pinvoke call.
Which is the default mode for .NET security model.
Yes.
If you don't say anything, it defaults to the most secure stack walk.
Yes. So by doing the security audit and sort of tightening the screws where we needed to, we were able to use an attribute called suppress unmanaged code security. And that obviously prevents this stack walk from happening. So every time we go out to call the Win32 API, it should be a lot more efficient now in Delphi 2005 than it was previously.
And again, the security model that .NET is providing here is based on the permission set of the caller, not necessarily the user that is currently active that the caller is acting on behalf of. So even if you have a high privileged user, if the code that's executing is from a location that is not fully trusted, the code is not fully trusted, regardless of who the user is. And this setting attributes on the VCL assemblies is basically saying that for cold exterior entry points, those still need to be checked to see who's calling us. But on our internal calls, all the internal calls can shortcut because we're inside of our domain now. And that, we are doing some measurements, should provide a 20 to 30% performance improvement on some of the VCL operations that are intensive on Windows APIs, like graphics. And actually, that's one area that when you compare WinForms graphics capabilities to VCL graphics capabilities, WinForms is using the GDI Plus stuff, which is very powerful, but it doesn't provide any hardware acceleration. So if you start to see flicker and so forth frequently, it's because of GDI Plus, not because of .NET. On the VCL.NET side, we're using the Windows 30, Win32 APIs for GDI, just as we do in regular Windows. And we also do, we still do handle caching and redundant resource identification, so we use fewer handles than WinForms does. We share our font handles and so forth. All of that caching code is still implemented in VCL.NET. So you can see some performance improvements between our performance advantages in VCL for .NET compared to WinForms. Now, if you take the VCL for .NET and compare it to VCL Win32, for display code and so forth, they'll be close, but VCL for .NET probably won't be faster than VCL. They're the same architecture, but the other things are going to affect VCL.NET.
So, let's see, I'll just throw this one in. You guys can take a break. Just a comment, congratulations for the decision to include C++ personality in on the Delphi development environment in the future.
Thank you. It actually wasn't any sort of new decision on the part of the team. The congratulations goes to the executive management deciding to push the thing forward.
And also the community that gave us really good feedback.
Absolutely.
About what they'd like to see in C++ and VCL moving forward.
Absolutely.
And how they saw, having this kind of multi, taking advantage of the fact that you already had architected the multi-language personality infrastructure into Delphi 2005. So thank you, community, as well. Let's see, Seppi, did the new enumerator syntax capability in 2005 drive any VCL changes? You mentioned some of that earlier.
We did add a few, add enumerators to a few of the containers, and I think Danny mentioned this briefly in his chat session earlier, but the pattern that the compiler is looking for is either the IEnumerable interface, or a pattern of a method named getEnumerator, basically following the same standards as C#. And we added that to some of the core components. I think we added tComponent, tControl, tList, and there's a few more that we added to.
But we haven't gone completely the whole hog on that, because we know that when we get generic syntax, that will change the amount of work required to produce an enumerator. So we didn't want to have to backtrack. And again, we also want to do this in a way that has parity on the Win32 side and the .NET side. So, having enumerators based on generics, we might start going down that path with VCL for .NET. But if we don't have time to implement equivalent generics in Win32 in its next product release, then we probably won't go whole hog on that idea with VCL for .NET.
This is asked, I think, this gets asked of us all the time in many different forms. Seppi, Danny, John, whoever, how long is the VCL going to stick around, is going to be around?
As long as we can keep it going, as long as customers are asking for it, as long as it's useful.
So if you keep using it and you keep giving us feedback about things you'd like to see in it.
Yeah. Clearly, having VCL very closely tied to Win32 APIs, people have the fear that because .NET is becoming the new operating system, that Win32 is just going to suddenly disappear. And that's not the case. Win32 will be around for decades. It may not be the primary interface or the primary API, but it will be there, because Microsoft has learned the value of, a very important lesson. The secret to Microsoft and Intel's success has been backwards compatibility, and Borland's success as well. The API is Microsoft's strong point, the processor is Intel's strong point, and the architecture is Borland's strong point. How long will VCL for .NET be around? If we can find ways to keep VCL current and productive and a developer advantage in the context of Avalon and Longhorn and these types of things, then definitely VCL will have a very long lifetime.
So here's one that we get. It's sort of in line with why VCL for .NET as well, but it's maybe looking at it from a customer standpoint. The question here is, What's a good answer when a customer asks, why should I use VCL for .NET?
So basically there again, the strength of VCL for .NET is continuity across platforms. So you know, why should I use WinForms if I need to implement stuff on Win32 without .NET? Well, the answer is you don't. So if you have a need to implement native Win32 applications as well as .NET applications, then VCL for .NET is a strong choice. If you have existing VCL code on Win32 that you want to bring forward to .NET or be able to maintain dual code bases again, or dual platform, same code base, then you can do that with VCL. You can't do that with any of the C# materials.
I inserted a link to your article.
Oh, okay, thank you.
Maybe another way that I look at it as well is if you know Delphi, and if you've been using Delphi for years now, you can explain to customers, I'm more productive because I have X number of years of VCL experience. And if you need me to do Win32, maybe you're just only .NET, you can say to people how fast you can build VCL.NET or .NET applications for those customers as well, just because you have the years of skill, there's all the tricks that you've learned to do things and so on,
right.
how fast you can do.
When we're talking about migration between platforms and so forth, source code migration is only one part of the puzzle, one part of the aspect of it. The other part of it is skill migration, that the skills that your development team have developed, custom components and skill set, knowing where to look and where to go to do things, you can move that over to the .NET platform and be productive in .NET in a matter of days, rather than having to go send all of your people out to training sessions to learn a new platform, a new language, a new architecture, and have perhaps months of downtime.
I think one other comment I could add, looking at it, let's say fine, you decide you're going to use .NET, you know, the native framework, the native components that are there and so on. Delphi as a language, as a programming language, not just a product and containing a component library and all sorts of other things, that Delphi is a proper and accepted .NET language, and that you can use Delphi with the Foundation class library, the .NET class libraries as well.
Yeah. That's also part of the confusion when folks are asking, well, you know, what should I be using of Delphi, because there are so many different aspects to approach it. There's the language part where you can use just the language to do WinForms development and ASP.NET development and so forth. Then there's the framework aspect where you can use VCL with Delphi language. And then there's the IDE productivity tools, which we have a number of items in the IDE helpers and wizards and program flow that you still don't see in Visual Studio or other development environments.
It's more of a comment here, I guess. Could Borland encourage third-party vendors to port their VCL Win32 components to VCL.NET components? The lack of VCL.NET third-party components is a real showstopper for single-source Win32 and .NET applications. And I guess I'll chime in, and John, if you want to chime in as well. We did briefings for all the third-party component vendors way back before Delphi 8 for .NET. Some of those were busy still doing Windows work as well. But you know, they were all given Delphi 2005 very early on as an additional encouragement to getting their work done. Some of it is just a matter of time. I know that we have more components, the third party components. I mean, Indy was in Delphi 8. Indy is there now. There's Interweb now. I don't think Interweb was in Delphi 8. Maybe it wasn't ready at the time. But
I never can remember which chips and product.
Yeah. But we do, we'll continue to encourage everyone. I think the other way to encourage them is for all of you to go to all your Win32 VCL component vendors, third-party vendors, and to say, look, you're doing work with Delphi 2005. You know, there's real need out there as well. I think on our standpoint, of course, we have to continue to put out quality Delphi .NET support. So people will use Delphi on .NET and use VCL so that third-party customer component vendors will see that there's a marketplace as well that people. So I think it's all of us together, and we'll do everything as we have for the third-party component vendors by getting them the products and other things that, when they come out with components that are for .NET, making sure the word gets out as well. And of course, there'll be just this groundswell, you know, on Delphi Superpage and other places where people will be building components, even if they're not for sale as well.
But I've also seen posts from people in the news groups saying that there's a lot of third-party components already available for Delphi 2005 that work in Win32, that the process of going to Delphi 2005 was very painless. I've actually personally taken some very large third-party component libraries and in a couple hours had them running in Delphi 2005. And we're also hearing from people that it's not that difficult to move it to BCL.NET as well for some of those. And of course, a lot of that is going to depend on how tightly bound those VCL enhancement or third-party controls are bound to the Win32 APIs and how deeply they go into that. But we have a great reference that comes with the product. You know, the VCL shows you how to do all that. So, like you said, I think it's just a matter of time, but I definitely think it's a very different situation than there was in Delphi 8 when there weren't really that many VCL for .NET controls at all. The third-party vendors are seeing Delphi 2005 is a very, very important release, and they're working on supporting it on both ends.
Okay, so Seppi, there's a question here. Many folks are saying that Win32 and VCL Win32 is getting the short shrift. Would you guys all say how hard you're working on Win32 side as well as .NET side?
Well, I think that the last release shows that, I mean, we added the same things in Win32 as we did in .NET. The things that we did add to .NET were catch up to Win32. So from that standpoint, you know, anything that we add will go into both. And we're certainly still using it ourselves internally. Obviously, the IDE is still majority of it is VCL Win32 code.
And in the same vein, so you know, in the 2005 when Delphi 2005 product. We did compiler work specifically for Win32 at considerable personal cost. And, for example, function inlining, something we've been talking about for years and deferring because it was just such a nasty problem to tackle. And lo and behold, our compiler backend guru, Tagawa-san, got a little bored one day and decided to go off and research this. I suggested it to him. And he came back and said, well, I know how much work it's going to take. I said, good, how long is it going to take? And he said, well, I've done it. So then when I was writing up the summary for this in the caliber requirements, I said, well, this really, you know, function inlining really only makes sense primarily for Win32 because .NET already has a form of inlining. So I got an email from Tagawa later asking, do you want me to turn off the inlining for .NET? And so I thought about it for a minute. It's like, well, no. The inlining in .NET for Delphi can do more heavy lifting than the inlining provided by the framework. So we can do a little bit more with inlining there than the provided stuff. But that's an example of something where we actually did the work primarily for Win32 and then brought it over to .NET. Now, looking towards the future, as we anticipate a shift in development priorities from Win32 to .NET over time, we will probably be doing more primary development on .NET and bringing things over to the Win32 side as it makes sense. For example, we have to implement generic syntax support in the Delphi language for the .NET 2.0 platform. We just can't be seen as a serious player in .NET 2.0 if we don't have generics. So that's a hard requirement for Delphi for .NET. Now, I have worked out an alternative or a possible plan for implementing generic syntax in Win32 without costing us years of effort. That isn't at the same priority level for implementation as generics for .NET, but we have a plan to implement generics on Win32.
This one's to Danny. Any news regarding support for custom attributes in the future version of Win32?
Mm-hmm. So it's a good question. The custom attribute syntax for Win32, yes, we can implement that. The hazard or the difficult part is how to implement the infrastructure that's required to retrieve that at runtime. These custom attributes would always be linked into your applications. They act as objects, so we'd have to construct instances at runtime. And again, this really boils down to that while we could implement it, we can implement a portion of it, the full food chain is a lot larger problem than I was originally looking at. So for the Delphi 2005 product, for the Delphi product in the calendar year 2005, we don't have a high priority to implement custom attributes for Win32, mostly because of the food chain, that not only would it be the compiler, but also the runtime library, the support tools in the IDE, code completion, code insight, all those types of things, would have to be aware of that. And so I actually started down that path in the Delphi 2005 product, and kind of got my toes burned by all of the food chain folks that said, whoa, we don't have time to support all that. So it needs to be a concerted effort on the part of the entire team. And because of the scale of the custom attributes, there's just a question of whether it really be worth our investment, whether we would get payback for that.
So Seppi, I'm not sure if this is for you or Danny. It's a question. I'm planning on buying Delphi 2005. Great. But some of the applications, some of my applications are threaded. So do you know of any issues working with threads in Delphi 2005 and .NET?
I'm not aware of any issues. I do know that we did do some tinkering with the tthread class on the .NET side. It is not identical to the Win32 side, but we do have a class called twin32thread that should be the equivalent of tthread on the Win32 side.
Also,
so there may be some change that needs to be made there.
Yeah, there were some RTL bug fixes that were done in Delphi 2005 to address issues in Delphi 8. Down at the very core of the language RTL, language runtime. But in general, the threading support in the .NET platform is much, much, much better than threading support in the Win32 API. A lot more things happen automatically. For example, getting a thread pool to call you back on a completion port is a matter of providing an event, and it'll just happen across threads in .NET. In Win32, you have to do a whole mess of things to make that work. So in general, the people ask, well, is .NET faster than Win32? You know, it's on par. In some cases, .NET may be slightly slower than Win32 for certain applications, but you have to look at it more than just the speed. It's also the service that's provided. The .NET has a much richer environment, a lot more things that you can do with less effort. And so that's where a lot of the value to me in .NET is. There's also the aspect that .NET is multi-platform, that your hardware is not chosen at compile time, it's chosen at runtime. So we are already running 64-bit Delphi code on 64-bit platforms in .NET, which would require years of effort to do a similar compiler for 64-bit directly.
Here was a follow-up, Seppi, to the question about getting things to work in VCL.NET versus Win32. Okay. It's got some MySQL database connection components. Because they're not visual, the wizard that converts components cannot find anything in assemblies. And so for that, more documentation would be needed. Maybe you could comment about if there's a wrapper for or something for someone to do who's got a non-visual component, like a database component.
I wasn't involved personally on the wrapper side and that part of it. But it's definitely something that we can look at to write an article.
Okay.
And post that somewhere.
Also, for this specific example of a MySQL database connection component, I would recommend looking at the MySQL stuff to see if they already have a MySQL connection for ADO.NET, because you're talking about having a sort of high-level framework component doing low-level work when the low-level work is probably already done by MySQL for .NET. So then your ADO connection, your ADO components, and your regular VCL table component could talk to that ADO provider, because that's the model for ADO for .NET.
So this may be an off-topic question. If it is, ignore it. I think it's a question about when a first update for Delphi 2005 might come out. Would it be whether it be a Christmas present on the internet somewhere? I know the team has been working on things that have been reported, since we shipped, but that also takes time to do things.
Yeah, and I don't think I can really comment on that right now. You can?
Yes, we have the team's working on bug fixes and so forth, and what we keep getting snagged on is getting everything just right in the install, because the .NET environment is very specific about versioning and making sure that the versions line up just right. We hope to have, I believe, a public beta very soon. I don't know if it'll make it by Christmas, but it'll be very soon.
Let's see. The question about, you know, are you already working on the next version? Are you in the planning phase for Delphi? I think the comment was, give the team feedback. It's the good time right now as they're working on the next version. Seppi, maybe chime in.
Yes, definitely. We're in the planning phase, looking at research items and so forth. So now is a very good time to give us suggestions.
Particularly for suggestions and areas or technology ideas that are really things that only Borland could do. And it's very useful to get suggestions on what kinds of third-party components we should buy or lump into the product. But really, our core business isn't producing components. Our core business is producing tools. So if you have suggestions on ways to further streamline the development process or things that can be done to the editor environment or code insight ideas or things like that, that a third party would not be able to do very easily, that's where we can really leverage and produce value in our core products.
Alan Bauer's listening in on the audio chat because he's posted a couple of things. He reminded people that there is a public beta for a D8 patch, a Delta 8 patch, and that the team is still working on a fully tested, you know, fully qualified update to Delphi 2005 as well.
Yeah, I think the public beta is due out soon as well. I don't know if it's out yet.
Okay.
I apologize for not knowing the exacts on this because it's sort of down in the further down in the pipeline of our production cycle is getting the actual bits delivered and tested and so forth. I just find out when they're late or early or things like that.
Yeah. Of course, I mean, you know, Delphi 2005, from all the traveling we've done all over the world, from news groups and other things, you know, the quality, the feature set, everything that we've heard from people, I congratulate Seppi and Danny once again and multiple times for getting this product out for everyone to use. We're close to our 1 hour time. There's a few other things in the queue, but it's more questions about, you know, for example, Danny, you mentioned that 64-bit.NET, we can just use the VCL.NET on that, but of course.
Hang on.
We have some work to do to get VCL for .NET to work on 64-bit because of the handle size changes and the fact that VCL code has been a little bit free with doing integer arithmetic on handles. And that's not currently supported in 64-bit. So, but we have Delphi language.
So you're talking about the Delphi language.
And we have WinForms applications that are running there already, et cetera.
Okay.
But we have some work to do to get the 64-bit stuff working with VCL.
And I think this question that's being asked is about native Win64.
Sure. Right. And then it went on to talk about, you know, a Win64 native code.
Right. And the first question there is which one? There are three. There's Itanium, there's AMD 64, and then there's Intel x64. Yes, it is still an open question, and we are not, you know, closed or ignoring that. Our primary push is to support .NET 64 because we don't have to create new tools for it. That's the main advantage. And we're working closely with Microsoft with the 64-bit development. But having a native Win64 compiler and tool chain is still a possibility if we can find a way to do it that doesn't cost us $20 million.
But you're saying as far as VCL for .NET 64, there's some work to be done. But
there's some small work that needs to be done in infrastructure for handles and that sort of stuff. That's on our side.
Mm-hmm.
When we get our job done, then it should be fairly trivial for people to move their or build their VCL apps for 64-bit.
Okay.
That's what makes our jobs interesting.
So
there's a question here from Blix. I wonder if that's Blix from Legend. But regarding custom attributes and other features, sometimes it wouldn't be necessary to integrate into the whole tool chain. I'd be happy if it were only the compiler was supported. Well, it's very nice, but the compiler is only one very small piece of the product. And if the rest of the product doesn't support the language feature doesn't exist. So this is not about language compiler things. It has to work in the entire product, or it's broken. Sorry, but that's my frank response.
Do you plan to sync component sets between Delphi 2005 VCL and WinForms, for example, error provider? Details at dragonsoftthrough.com.
Not necessarily familiar with that particular component. If it's something that is being mentioned as a feature request or a customer request, it's certainly something that we can investigate if it makes sense to add something like that.
Okay, Serge, he gave us the URL, www.dragonsoftthrough.
Dragonsoft, are you? He's
yeah.
From Russia.
Oh, Russia. Got it, Russia. .com. It's in the chat. Where did it go?
I just put it in. It's
question mark. Go equals D7, D8.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Got a BDP question here.
Okay. So that's probably you for John. Documentation for third-party database vendors to produce BDP drivers. If Ramesh was here.
Well, I'm actually working with Ramesh on that. What we're doing is. Well, Ramesh is working on the code and the architectural overview of what the goals were and how things were implemented. I'm actually commenting the C# code that's the source of the BDP driver interfaces, and we're going to use Together for Visual Studio actually to generate a very nice HTML document that people can browse around and look through. So hopefully we'll have something out before the end of this year, if not probably January. So yes, there will be documentation provided for the BDP driver.
So Seppi, I think there have been other discussions in previous chats about that covered some VCL topics that maybe you weren't in on those things. Maybe you'd like to cover just a few quick chiming in about things that came up in earlier chats.
Yeah, there was one that I just briefly wanted to touch on that came up during Danny's talk that was related to marshalling safe arrays. The question was a little bit vague to sort of give a specific and exact answer, but it's a very good question. So I just wanted to touch briefly on a couple of different possibilities that could have been sort of the cause of the question. One of the possibilities is that you're using the marshaller and it was giving you some kind of error messages or exceptions. And the marshaller is in general very picky about dealing with safe arrays, and one of the things that we ran into when porting the Midas part of VCL was that there are some of the native safe array APIs that will quite happily construct a safe array that's perfectly valid but doesn't have all the bits set quite the way that the marshaller wants them to be. And so the marshaller will actually fail it, saying that it's an invalid type. And this is, for example, one of the reasons why in Midas.pass we don't use Olay variant for the return type for some of our methods, and instead we actually just take a tag variant lookalike structure and deal with it ourselves. So if this was something along the lines of what this person was running into, I'd recommend looking at borland.vcl.midas.pass and also in dsintf.pass for examples of how to deal with safe arrays and sort of the data at the lowest level. And the function where we actually do this is in var to data packet, where we sort of break things apart and deal with them. I'm guessing a little bit at what the actual question was, the specifics, but I hope that provides some kind of answer.
Okay. Let's see. Any plans to add the ability to do data snap servers in VCL.NET?
That is a great question for next Monday's chat.
Okay. So next Monday's chat is with?
Ramesh and York.
Okay.
On
Ramesh and
database
York
features.
Database features.
Delphi 2005.
Great. And what time is that on Monday?
10 a.m.
10 a.m. Pacific time.
1800 GMT.
Okay. I'll have to connect in from wherever I am on vacation next week. Okay. Why are the non-visual components when dropped on a form so bad or resized? I don't know.
Is this referring to the VCO designer or the wind forms designer? Because the style of the non-visual icons is different for different sizes. So if you're referring to the wind form stuff, yeah, it's possible that the icons are being resized.
Okay.
The question you asked.
Okay.
So non-visual components dropped on a what kind of form? Wind form or VCL form? Or VCL like that. Okay. Oh, he's saying on a VCL form, it looks like in the chat transcript.
Yeah, so bug report, Quality Central.
Okay, so put something in Quality Central about it so the team can see more detail and they'll take a look.
Right.
Okay, at that point, I want to give Danny and Seppi, if you have any last comments, if not, goodbye and happy holidays, maybe.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's been fun being here.
Well, actually, I did want to ask one question. I ask this in almost every chat. Were there any things that you learned during this cycle that surprised you or changed your approach to the type of work that you're doing?
Yeah, I learned the delegation works really well. Seppi takes care of a lot of stuff.
I think I learned just how painful COM interop can be.
Okay.
With DBGO.
All right.
Okay, so look forward to the chat on Monday morning at 10 a.m. Pacific time. And also, if not, I want to wish everybody a happy holidays and happy new year. Many of us will be working, some of us not here in Scotts Valley or Cupertino or Santa Ana or Atlanta or St. Petersburg and Singapore and Sweden and so on. But people will be working during the holiday times on products and things. So, but I want to give our warm thank you for a great 2004, and happy holidays to everyone. And we'll see everybody in the new year as well. Oh, I have to do my wrap up. There you go. All right.
Actually, no, before you hit that. Yeah. So I have to apologize. On my previous chat, I kept referring to the 2006 product. And got some feedback later saying, oh my God, we're not going to do another product for two years. It's like, wait. The product that is released in 2005 will probably be called 2006, just because it's a car model.
Oh, so you're announcing a name before.
So, yeah, think like automobile car manufacturing or other things. Yeah. You can use the product throughout the year that is in the name, right, as opposed
and after.
To and after.
So if I say 2006, don't freak out, or if I say 2007, don't freak out. It's not that far away.
So if you have additional questions that were not answered in this chat, feel free to email them to Anders Olsen, David I, or John Castor. You can even comment on one of our blog entries to reach us if you don't have email address as well. We all have blogs. Danny's got a blog. Seppi, you have a blog?
No, I don't.
Okay, Seppi. We'll get Seppi on a blog. All right. Remember to check Event Central for announcements of additional chats and other events of interest to Boiler customers. This replay will also appear on BDN TV as a link, so you can share the playback both in streaming form or in download form and spread the word to others who might have missed this live event. You can use it later on. Thank you, everyone, Danny, Seppi, John, Anders, for your time, and everybody out there in the chat world for your interest. We hope you found the chat valuable. Again, Seppi, thanks for spending time and being on your first audio chat.
Thanks for having me on.
Bye, everyone.